Hi there, this is episode 232 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. It's a new week, you're back, and so am I. We have some really good chapters in store for us this week, starting with today's reading from 1 Corinthians 6 and 7. Our translation this week is the Good News Translation. Let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If any of you have a dispute with another Christian, how dare you go before heathen judges instead of letting God's people settle the matter? Don't you know that God's people will judge the world? Well then, if you are to judge the world, aren't you capable of judging small matters? Do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more then the things of this life? If such matters come up, are you going to take them to be settled by people who have no standing in the church? Shame on you! Surely there is at least one wise person in your fellowship who can settle a dispute between fellow Christians. Instead, one Christian goes to court against another and lets unbelievers judge the case. The very fact that you have legal disputes among yourselves shows that you have failed completely. Would it not be better for you to be wronged? Would it not be better for you to be robbed? Instead, you yourselves wrong one another and rob one another, even other believers. Surely you know that the wicked will not possess God's kingdom. Do not fool yourselves. People who are immoral or who worship idols or are adulterers or homosexual perverts or who steal or are greedy or are drunkards or who slander others or are thieves, none of these will possess God's kingdom. Some of you were like that, but you have been purified from sin. You have been dedicated to God. You have been put right with God by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Someone will say, I am allowed to do anything. Yes, but not everything is good for you. I could say that I am allowed to do anything, but I am not going to let anything make me its slave. Someone else will say, food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food. Yes, but God will put an end to both. The body is not to be used for sexual immorality, but to serve the Lord. And the Lord provides for the body. God raised the Lord from death, and He will also raise us by His power. You know that your bodies are parts of the body of Christ. Shall I take a part of Christ's body and make it part of the body of a prostitute? Impossible. Or perhaps you don't know that a man who joins his body to a prostitute becomes physically one with her. The Scripture says quite plainly, the two will become one body. But he who joins himself to the Lord becomes spiritually one with Him. Avoid immorality. Any other sin a man commits does not affect his body, but the man who is guilty of sexual immorality sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. He bought you for a price. So use your bodies for God's glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, to deal with the matters you wrote about. A man does well not to marry. But because there is so much immorality, every man should have his own wife, and every woman should have her own husband. A man should fulfill his duty as a husband, and a woman should fulfill her duty as a wife, and each should satisfy the other's needs. A wife is not the master of her own body, but her husband is. In the same way, a husband is not the master of his own body, but his wife is. Do not deny yourselves to each other, unless you first agree to do so for a while, in order to spend your time in prayer. But then resume normal marital relations. In this way, you will be kept from giving in to Satan's temptation because of your lack of self-control. I tell you this not as an order, but simply as a permission. Actually, I would prefer that all of you were as I am, but each one has a special gift from God. One person this gift, another one that gift. Now, to the unmarried and to the widows, I say that it would be better for you to continue to live alone as I do. But if you cannot restrain your desires, go ahead and marry. It is better to marry than to burn with passion. For married people I have a command which is not my own, but the Lord's. A wife must not leave her husband. But if she does, she must remain single, or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. To the others I say, I myself, not the Lord, If a Christian man has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she agrees to go on living with him, he must not divorce her. And if a Christian woman is married to a man who is an unbeliever, and he agrees to go on living with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made acceptable to God by being united to his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made acceptable to God by being united to her Christian husband. If this were not so, their children would be like pagan children, but as it is, they are acceptable to God. However, if the one who is not a believer wishes to leave the Christian partner, let it be so. In such cases, the Christian partner, whether husband or wife, is free to act. God has called you to live in peace. How can you be sure, Christian wife, that you will not save your husband? Or how can you be sure, Christian husband, that you will not save your wife? Each of you should go on living according to the Lord's gift to you, and as you were when God called you. This is the rule I teach in all the churches. If a circumcised man has accepted God's call, he should not try to remove the marks of circumcision. If an uncircumcised man has accepted God's call, he should not get circumcised. For whether or not a man is circumcised means nothing. What matters is to obey God's commandments. Each of you should remain as you were when you accepted God's call. Were you a slave when God called you? Well, never mind. But if you have a chance to become free, use it. For a slave who has been called by the Lord is the Lord's free person. In the same way, a free person who has been called by Christ is his slave. God bought you for a price, so do not become slaves of people. My friends, each of you should remain in fellowship with God in the same condition that you were when you were called. Now, concerning what you wrote about unmarried people, I do not have a command from the Lord, but I give my opinion as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is worthy of trust. Considering the present distress, I think it is better for a man to stay as he is. Do you have a wife? Then don't try to get rid of her. Are you unmarried? Then don't look for a wife. But if you do marry, you haven't committed a sin. And if an unmarried woman marries, she hasn't committed a sin. But I would rather spare you the everyday troubles that married people will have. What I mean, my friends, is this. There is not much time left, and from now on, married people should live as though they were not married. Those who weep, as though they were not sad. Those who laugh, as though they were not happy. Those who buy, as though they did not own what they bought. Those who deal in material goods, as though they were not fully occupied with them. For this world, as it is now, will not last much longer. I would like you to be free from worry. An unmarried man concerns himself with the Lord's work because he is trying to please the Lord. But a married man concerns himself with worldly matters because he wants to please his wife, and so he is pulled in two directions. An unmarried woman or a virgin concerns herself with the Lord's work because she wants to be dedicated both in body and spirit. But a married woman concerns herself with worldly matters because she wants to please her husband. I'm saying this because I want to help you. I'm not trying to put restrictions on you. Instead, I want you to do what is right and proper and to give yourselves completely to the Lord's service without any reservation. In the case of an engaged couple who have decided not to marry, if the man feels that he is not acting properly toward the young woman, and if his passions are too strong, and he feels that they ought to marry, then they should get married, as he wants to. There is no sin in this. But if a man, without being forced to do so, has firmly made up his mind not to marry, and if he still has his will under complete control, and has already decided in his own mind what to do, then he does well not to marry the young woman. So the man who marries does well, but the one who doesn't marry does even better. A married woman is not free as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, then she is free to be married to any man she wishes, but only if he is a Christian. She will be happier, however, if she stays as she is. That is my opinion, and I think that I too have God's Spirit. May God richly bless the reading of His Word. Today, let's quickly look at a couple of different points from our reading. These are things that cause some people to wonder what Paul meant, so I hope I can clear them up for you. Let's first tackle the parts where Paul says that he's expressing his opinion. Does that mean that we can discount what he says if we don't like what we hear? No. Those parts don't somehow become the uninspired Word of God. If they did, then they'd not be included in the Bible. What Paul was saying was that there was no scriptures yet in existence that dealt with the issue, so he wasn't able to quote any verses to support what he was teaching here. But if you look at how he ended the chapter, he was declaring that he was led by the Holy Spirit. When he says, "I think that I too have God's Spirit," he was not expressing doubt like today we say, "Well, I think that's true." No, in the language of the day, he was saying, "I am convinced that I have God's Spirit." And since that is true, he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his teaching on the subject is from God. The next thing that causes some difficulty for many people is where Paul mentions that the unbelieving spouse is made acceptable to God by the believing spouse. Some people mistakenly think that this means that an unbelieving husband or wife gets a free pass to heaven because they're married to a believing spouse, or the children of a believer get a free pass. Of course, that's not true. Each person must accept Christ on their own. There are no coattails upon which you can ride into heaven. If you look at the passage again, you'll see that Paul was talking about divorce. He was saying that if the unbeliever agrees to live with the believer, then their marriage will be recognized by God as a holy, valid marriage. They don't need to be divorced. And since their marriage is acceptable to God, then their children are not deemed as illegitimate as they would be if their parents were unmarried. Paul goes on to say that, quote, "God has called you to live in peace," unquote. Of course, he doesn't want lives to be turned upside down by divorce over this. And in staying together, the unbelieving spouse might be convinced of the reality of God's love by the loving example of the believing spouse, and he or she might be brought to the cross of Christ. Do you have other ideas? I'd be glad to hear them. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or post your comments on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 232. I'm glad you joined me here today. Tomorrow we'll both rejoin the wise one, Solomon, in the book of Proverbs. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.